All right. Well, good morning. My name is Randy. I'm the lead here. So they tell me I'm the pastor. I'm one of the pastors here. We have several. I'm going to give you kind of what's going on and how the rest of this day is going to go. We have 14 people that we're going to baptize today. Woo! Which is really exciting. It's an exciting time. And then we have pizzas that are going to arrive soon. So we're having kind of a pie and die service, okay? And so it's going to be good. If you're a guest here, welcome. We'll have a few announcements at the end, I think, but we're not going to do those now. Right now, and I want to welcome Lift Kids for being in here today. Thank you for coming in. It's so good to have you here with us. I want to take a few minutes. What we're going to do, I'm going to share for just a few minutes, and then what's going to happen is I'm going to release you that have younger kids in our preschool and nursery classes. I'm going to release you to go get them to come in so our workers and everyone can be here for this family a moment where we baptize our candidates today, okay? But I want to share for a couple of minutes before we do that. And so you're not going to miss anything, promise. Let me ask you this. Has anybody noticed just going to the store, perhaps at your job, maybe even today coming into church, that there's been an increase of people wearing clothing that's red, maybe an emblem of something on it, like an arrowhead, right? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that there's more of that after you win a Super Bowl than perhaps before you won a Super Bowl? How about more this year than last year and the year before and the year before? And now eventually we're going to creep into Royals season and you're going to start seeing some blue and stuff. But the chief thing hadn't gone down yet because people like to identify with a winner, right? When we moved here almost 18 years ago, I came from Oklahoma, and there is no professional sports in Oklahoma City except for Oklahoma Sooners. But that's another. That's, well, there is now. There's Thunder, but it wasn't there when we were there. And so we come here, and we didn't know about all this professional stuff. And I remember going to church, and people came in, and I noticed that we had a lot of people in the first service, but not so many in the second service. And then I also noticed that people were wearing jerseys and stuff. And the day I saw someone with their face painted at church, I decided I should find out what this is all about. And so I went, watched the game, and they won. And then they won the next week, and then they won the next week, and then they won the next week. And I'm like, yeah, I am in. And then they lost for the whole rest of that season. Really felt like bait and switch. But so my point is, we like to identify with winners. And reason why I'm bringing that up is because God is really concerned about our identity. How we identify, who we identify with, and what that means to us. And today is all about identity with our baptism tank. Everyone likes to identify with a winner. Man, nobody likes to identify with a loser. And yet there's people in this room, or perceived loser, there's people in this room wearing crosses on their necklaces. The most horrible form of death, dying on a cross, and yet we'll put that on a chain. Can you imagine an electric chair on there? Hanging noose? We identify, and sometimes we don't even know what we identify. And certainly the enemy would like to get you to identify with something else. See, he's the one that comes and says, yeah, that Jesus guy, but you're not Jesus. Yeah, you know what you are. You know how bad. You know why people don't need to be told how bad they are? Because they already know. What they need to know is how good God is. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to a place that he had not even visited. He hadn't started a church there. He hadn't gone there, but he had somehow received word. He knew some things that were going on, and he wrote a letter. We call it a book in our Bible, Romans. It was to the Roman people in Rome. And in that book, in chapter 6, he says this, starting with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Let me stop right there. There were people in that time that had heard that as sin increases, the grace of God increases even more. We live in a time right now that sometimes it seems really dark. The news is really dark. And you know, it seems like stuff's crazy. It's crazy stuff going on. And you'll hear us in the church saying, oh, man, when it starts getting crazy like that, he's going to show up. He's going to raise up. There's going to be a greater outpour of grace. I believe that. But some people who heard this said, oh, if we sin more, if we do more things that are wrong, then God will forgive us. And there'll be an increase in grace. And it'll actually be better if we were to do this in order for his grace to increase in the earth. Okay, it sounds absurd when I say it, right? But that's what was going on, and that's what's happened throughout time. And there are some people who still believe that way. They say, I'm just a young man. God understands. He'll forgive me. I hear he forgives me. So it's just my thing, and I'll willingly do whatever I want to do, and then I'll come to him, and he'll forgive me, and it'll be okay. And yet Paul was trying to help them out and say, listen, when you come to Christ, not when you get baptized, when you believe that he actually died for you, when you believe that he actually went to the cross, suffered, died, sinless, he'd never sinned, and was buried, and rose again, and appeared to hundreds of people, and then sent the Holy Spirit to come live in us when we believe. If you believe that, the moment you believe that, you died with him. And just as you died with him, you rose with him when he rose. See, I want to challenge your identity of who you are. I want to challenge you for your identity, young people, that said, you know, there's a saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's just not true. That's not true. Words can hurt very much unless you're dead. Yeah, unless you're dead. If you're dead, people can say whatever they want and it doesn't hurt you. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism in death, into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's actually a botanical term that's used there. And it's talking about being grafted in. It's like one branch and another branch, same plant. They don't stand alone. They're together. They're in. They're grafted in. In likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness, again, grafted in, of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Well, I wasn't crucified. I'm right here. That was 2,000 years ago. Okay, well, at the beginning, when Adam sinned, that affected you. You weren't there when he did that either. When him and Eve sinned and brought judgment upon the earth that we live under now, this imperfect world, when that happened, you weren't there either. You might not have been at the cross, but I'm telling you right now, the Word of God tells us that we were crucified with him, and we were and are risen with him as well. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. I want you to think about that for just a second. He's never going to die again. He's already died for you and I, and he lives forever. We don't have to keep putting ourselves in this position of dying and dying and dying and dying. It's already done. You've already died with him at the cross, and you live with him forever. Forever and ever and ever. That's what happens when you come into relationship with Christ. What's going to happen here today is not going to save anybody. This isn't some magical tank that when you go here and you get baptized and you go down in the water, Jesus did it. Jesus came to John and said, baptize me. And John said, well, I can't baptize you. I can't even tie your sandals. You should baptize me. And he said, no, you need to do this. And when he was baptized, when Jesus himself, before he ever started his ministry, before he ever healed anybody, before he ever did anything as the Son of God to the public, to people, to for you and I, he was baptized. And John took him under the water and brought him up. And when he did, the Bible says that like the heavens opened up and something like a dove, some physical manifestation came and rested on him. And we know that was the Holy Spirit, came and rested on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had not sinned. He hadn't been to the cross yet to pay the price for you and I. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know why? Because obedience. God said, do it. And he did. He came to John, said, John, you're going, I don't want to do that. He says, yeah, do this. And John obeyed and baptized him. Those of you that are going to get baptized today, you're just being obedient to what God said. But as you do, as you are baptized, we're going to declare over you something that's already happened in your heart. You've already said you believe in Jesus. We've asked you. You've already said that you want to identify with him. And I made it sound like he's a loser. He's not. He's a winner. He's the winner, right? I'm asking you to identify with his life, his resurrection, not his death. That's how come Protestants typically don't have crosses with Jesus hanging on them. Because he's not there anymore, right? So when we baptize you today, we're going to say, because you have made a public profession of your belief in Jesus Christ, because you have done that, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and in that name above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to take you to put you in water, down into the water. We're going to say, buried with him in baptism, and when we pull you up, raised to walk in newness of life. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, there's one other story I want to tell you before we break. And I hope this is the day that this happens for me. There are people who are Star Wars. There are people who are Star Trek. Who is Star Wars? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Who's Star Trek? Raise your hands. All the old people. Okay. Sorry. But not sorry. Anyway, here's the thing. There is one thing in Star Trek that does not exist in Star Wars. And it's a really cool thing. It's a very cool thing. It's called the transporter. And in the transporter, you can step in and beam down to the planet or beam over to the other ship, right? It sounds cool. I don't know if I'd ever step in one because they'll take you apart and put you back together. Excuse me? But it was kind of a cool thing. The reason why I bring it up, because it happened in the Bible. Star Trek didn't make it up. There is a story in the Bible that this happened. And it involved a guy who was called the Ethiopian, who was going down the road in his chariot. He had been to town. He was in charge of the treasury and the money of his master. And he's reading the Bible, right? Do you remember this story, Grant? Do you remember who God told to go see him? Philip? Like, as in Philippi? Oh, his name was Philip. And so here, Philip is just doing his thing, and God says, I need you to go down the road. So he went. You know why? Obedience. He goes down the road. Here comes this chariot. I'm here on the road. Here comes the chariot. It's got an Ethiopian in it. What now, Lord? You know, sometimes you just need to take the first step and let him do the next ones. And when he got there, I'm not sure he would have said anything if he hadn't been obedient to go. And he went, and he's standing by the road, and God said, now go up and talk to him. Well, he's in his chariot with his crew. He's got his guys with him and stuff and what have you. No, he just went. And he got up there, and the Ethiopian is reading a passage out of Isaiah, okay? Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian said, well, how could I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, here's the passage of Scripture which he was reading. It was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus had even come. This is in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. And this Ethiopian is reading this and going, what is this about? And he goes on. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. He was obedient to go to the road. He was obedient to get in the chariot. He was obedient to answer Philip. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, are you ready? The Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, teleported. Beam me out of here! And the eunuch no longer saw him. You know why he didn't see him anymore? Because he wasn't there. But he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So I'm going to say before you right now, so everybody knows, that when I baptize you today, this could be the day. It could be. And if I'm snatched away, I hope he snatches Kelly too, and we're in Hawaii. I'm just saying. I don't know where Azotus is, but I'm going for Maui, okay? I'll call you. I'll have my phone on me just in case, all right? So that is such a cool story. It's a story of obedience. It's a story of identity. The eunuch wanted so to identify with who Christ was and what Christ did. And I am so thrilled that you want to identify with what Jesus did for you in your heart, and that you're going to make a public profession of it in front of all of us. Amen. Father, we pray that this would be such a testimony. We're so excited to be able to honor you. And we're following in obedience to what you have asked us to do. You said to go and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and pray for the sick and heal. Actually, you said to heal the sick, not pray for them. You said to heal the sick. And so we're so thankful that all of these that are going to be baptized today, each and every one of them is a testimony of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.